The Anton Savage Show
with Kiries.ie
on News Talk.
You will undoubtedly have seen during the week the issue that there has been with what are being described as tent cities, where there was originally the clean out of the tent city in Mount Street, with the tents being removed, the streets being hosed down, and the people who had been living in the tents, the asylum seekers, moved to what was, we were told, was more appropriate accommodation, albeit still in tents, but in slightly bigger tents than that. Then we had the arrival in Grand Canal of about 50 tents. Those were then removed, and now there are hoardings up along. And now we've seen another 30 tents appear beside Grand Canal. With me is the minister responsible for integration, that being Minister Roderick O'Gorman. We don't seem to be getting anywhere, Minister, with the removal of the tent encampments.
We're providing additional accommodation for people who need it. As you know, since December of last year, my department wasn't in a position to offer accommodation to all male applicants. And that led to, in the last number of months, significant numbers of people rough sleeping, originally at Mount Street and subsequently along the Grand Canal. At the end of April, I published the comprehensive accommodation strategy.
So do you now have enough spaces for them?
We'll just, if you just let me finish the point. Comprehensive accommodation strategy sets out in the long term how we move away from our reliance on commercial properties for international protection accommodation, but in the short term deliver the accommodation we need to provide accommodation for those arriving in the country. And since then we've been able to accommodate 450 international protection applicants.
But do you now have enough space?
We have to bring on more space.
So you don't?
I've been very clear about that. We need more space to ensure that we can provide an offer of accommodation to everybody. But in the last 2 weeks, in the case of Mount Street, we were able to provide 290 people with an offer of accommodation.
So when you clear away the tents, that means that the tents are cleared away safe in the knowledge that these people have nowhere to go.
No, the tents are cleared away when people are provided with an offer of accommodation and are brought to that accommodation location. So as I say, we moved 163 people from the location on the Grand Canal on Thursday morning. The previous Thursday, we'd moved 290 people to accommodation, new accommodation that we brought in, accommodation provided on state land, two former HSE sites, one at Trudder, one at Crooks Ling. And it's the delivery of that state land that was really important in terms of us being able to offer accommodation to these people. And in the short term, the use of state land is going to continue to be important in terms of allowing us provide this basic
level of accommodation. But if we go back to the ones then that were removed, if we take either the Main Street or the Grand Canal, in that instance, you know that you are removing this cohort of people who are in a tented encampment, but you would be aware at the same time that there will be other encampments that will be unimpacted, that there will always be, until you get these more numbers, we're going to have dozens, if not hundreds, of people on the streets in Dublin. Is that right?
So we, on both occasions when we moved international protection applicants, we, working with a number of NGOs, identified who had been sleeping rough there, identified that they were all international protection applicants who were in the system but who we hadn't been able to provide an offer of accommodation from. We transported them to the location where accommodation was being provided, and that was the two operations that conducted.
But sorry, what I'm trying to get my head around is, as I understand it, what you're saying is we don't currently have enough places to house all of those who are seeking international protection. They are therefore going to end up sleeping rough. So any time that you clear away tents, that is putting some people into accommodation, but it does nothing to the net problem, which is we have an ongoing, continuing issue with homeless asylum seekers in tents in Dublin, and we will have that until you can get more accommodation.
I've been very clear the entire time. Until we can have, until we're in a position where we have enough accommodation to offer a bed to anybody seeking it, there is a risk that some people will end up rough sleeping, yes. And that's why we published the comprehensive accommodation strategy. That's why the Taoiseach and I and a number of ministers met on
Thursday evening. What's the point then in the big dramatic clear-outs?
In terms of delivery of that additional accommodation. Because it is not safe for the individuals in question to be in these locations.
But there are still going to be individuals in those locations. You clear out Mount Street knowing there are other individuals around whatever corner it might be who will be there no matter what.
We know from previous experience and experience from last summer that when there are large gatherings of international protection applicants who are unaccommodated, who are rough sleeping, there is a risk, there's a threat to them. We saw a particularly violent episode last summer. So I think it's really important in terms of providing their security, their safety, to accommodate them in safer locations.
What do you define as a large number?
And that's what we did over the last number of weeks.
What do you define as a large number?
Look, we don't want a situation where anyone is sleeping rough in our streets, and that's what we're working to achieve. We're not there yet, and I absolutely recognise that, but I think it is important to say that in the last 2 weeks, we were able to bring
But I'm just trying to get some specificity around this, because what you've said is you have a situation where, despite you not wanting it to be the case, we are going to have people in the short to medium term sleeping rough on our streets who are seeking international or protection. You say that once that gets to a certain critical mass, the government engages and removes the encampment once it gets to a significant size. What's a significant size?
Well, the key issue is the availability of accommodation. As soon as I have my department has accommodation, we will look to accommodate people. And
but you don't have it. So we're back at the same position. The government is now choosing to engage based on size of encampment. No, what's the size that causes the government to engage?
The government is choosing to engage in terms of availability of accommodation. When we have accommodation, we will provide it to people. And throughout all this period of time, we have a triage.
Sorry, Minister, I don't mean to interrupt you, but that's not what you said. What you said was that you don't have available accommodation, that once you get to a significant scale of encampment, it becomes a risk because the encampment becomes targeted. And at that stage, you clear that encampment. What I'm asking is, what's the scale where you say we can't have that many gathered together?
Our ability to intervene over the last 2 weeks in Grand Canal and at Mount Street was because we had been able to secure accommodation. That is the central issue in all of this, the availability of accommodation. And because of the work we've done with the HSE to bring on more sites, we were able to provide accommodation to 290 people in Mount Street, 263 people on the Grand Canal. And it was that was the factor that allowed us to intervene
situations. But what you said to us is that doesn't change the fact that we have an ongoing issue of people who are sleeping rough on the streets who are seeking international protection, and that you don't have enough accommodation to deal with them in the short to medium term. So they are going to be a continuum. You've said you engage when they begin to gather together in groups that are too large that it proves a risk
to
them. What's that number? What
I said is I recognised that when there are large numbers of people congregating and sleeping rough together, there are risks there. But our ability to intervene at both Mount Street and both Grand Canal was because we brought new accommodation online.
Yes, but that doesn't change the fact that new accommodation is not sufficient for everybody. You will continue to have an ongoing problem, and you will continue to intervene, as you say, based on a scale issue of risk.
No, we will continue to intervene when we get additional accommodation, and that's what we're working to achieve.
How long do you think before you will have sufficient accommodation for the tent cities to be removed in total?
I believe in the next number of months, I'll be in a position where...
Months?
That we'll be in a position to say with confidence that everybody who requires an offer of accommodation can get one. And that's what we're working to achieve across government.
So when we look at, because it did, I'm not suggesting that it was actively done, but the inference that was made about the big Mount Street clear out was that it was an element of a new dawn, that this was a change in approach, that this was the end of the sort of tented cities as they're being described. What you're saying is that's not the case, that we are going to see a succession of those. We're going to see a Mount Street clearance, we're going to see a Grand Canal clearance, we're going to see another Grand Canal, and this is going to go on for months.
What I'm saying is that we're doing everything in our power to bring on additional accommodation. And that's, as I say, we've already delivered that at some scale in Crooksling and at Trudder. But I want to be in a position where I can provide an offer of accommodation to everybody. And that's the work we're doing in the short term in the provision of state-owned land, and in longer term measures in terms of bringing on additional developments at sites, as I say, like Knocklasheen, like Athlone, where we already have international protection accommodation, and we're looking to upscale.
Is there not something fundamentally broken in the system? Because as I understand it, what happens now if you seek international protection is you arrive into Dublin, for some of the people who are seeking international protection, and you are handed a government tent. We give you a tent. No, you're shaking your head.
No, that doesn't happen.
Where did they get the tents?
As you know, we're not in a position to accommodate everybody. Where people aren't accommodated, they engage with a number of NGOs that our department support in terms of providing services to international protection applicants who haven't been accommodated. And those are a range of services. They may be access to meals, access to showers during the day, access to charging facilities.
A tent?
And a number of those NGOs where they identify that the individual is at risk of rough sleeping, a number of those NGOs may provide tent or a sleeping bag.
And we fund that?
Our department funds NGOs in terms of providing what they see are the necessary services to individuals.
Okay, but the money may travel a circuitous route. The end result is the same. The government supplies you a tent and says, find somewhere to stay. The government then comes around by the other hand and takes your tent away.
Government has an obligation in terms of providing accommodation to international protection applicants. As you know, we're not in a position to meet that obligation to everybody at the moment. As such, rather than leaving people destitute, we support a number of homelessness NGOs in the city who have experience in terms of providing support to homeless people to provide additional supports to those international protection applicants who haven't received an offer of accommodation.
But as I understand it, if we net all this together, we now have a situation where you're saying we don't have enough accommodation for all the people who are coming in. In the interim, until that happens, which could be months away, the dynamic that will apply is international protection seekers will come in, the government will fund them a tent and a sleeping bag, they'll gather together, and then the government will fund the removal of that tent and sleeping bag, and this dance will go on for months.
And that's why it's so important that we bring that additional accommodation capacity on. And that's why the work that I'm doing and the Taoiseach has coordinated across a number of government departments to deliver that extra capacity is the absolute focus of government.
But is there not a better way than saying, here's a tent, have at it?
The best way is to provide state-provided accommodation. That is the best way. We're not in a position to do that for everybody right now. As I say, since we introduced the comprehensive accommodation strategy, we have been able to provide 450 additional spaces. More spaces will come online in the weeks ahead. And I believe we will be in a position where we're able to provide an offer of accommodation to everybody. But I have to recognise there is some work to do before we can provide that offer to everybody.
But then what we are cleaning up as a state is, and I don't mean that term pejoratively, because it tends to end up with jet washing. It's literally a cleanup of the areas. What we are cleaning up is what we create. We hand out dozens, if not hundreds of tents. We say, best of luck. They set up a tented village. We then come around. We pay security to clear it all up. We bin all of the tents, I assume at our own cost. And then we set up barriers to stop the people that we gave tents to putting the tents where it's logical to put them.
Well, again, I think, in terms of alternatives, I think it is important that, I don't believe we want to leave people entirely destitute. And I think it is important that we are supporting homelessness NGOs to provide the services, to provide the supports that they know from their experience are needed for people who are rough sleeping as a short-term measure. But ultimately, as I've said before, the key to addressing this is bringing more accommodation online, and that's what we're working to do.
Sorry to harp on this, because I'm still trying to wrap my head around it. If we take the Grand Canal today, as we stand now, there are security barriers all the way down the Grand Canal trying to block people from setting up the tents. If you're an international protection seeker and you arrive into Dublin, a city that you do not know in any way, and you're handed a state-sponsored tent and told, do your best, surely the Grand Canal is the best place for them.
In terms of, in terms of location.
But what else are they going to do? Doorways?
And that's why, as I say, we support NGOs who are able to provide initial supports in terms of access to meals, in terms of access to shower facilities. And it's why we're working to bring online more accommodation.
But these NGOs, I mean, if you look at the picture from Wilton Terrace this morning, this is evidently it is tents that we have given out because they're all identical and brand new. So the NGOs are handing these people tents and saying, try the Grand Canal. It's a relatively nice place if you have to sleep rough. And then we come round and remove them all from where the NGOs have said they should go.
Once we've been able to provide them with proper accommodation, yes. I think we all agree that getting people into state-provided accommodation where they're able to access showers, where they're able to access regular meals, I think we all agree that that's that's what we need to do. We want to be in a position where we're able to do that for all international protection applicants. And the work we're doing across government to bring on more capacity is allowing us to do so.
The other issue around all of this is, of course, how it has led into the sort of discourse, the protests, the unrest, the formation of distrust and anger that we have seen. You, or rather your house, because I don't believe you were in it at the time, has been a victim of this. Are you satisfied that enough is now being done to gain control over the law and order side of things that we've seen? Because it has been horrible.
Well, certainly, look, in my own personal case, the Gardaí have been very supportive. I suppose I have a wider concern, though. We're in the middle of local and European elections right now, and there are candidates out there knocking on doors, engaging in, you know, the democratic process. And, you know, certainly across Europe, we've seen situations where politicians are being attacked out on the canvas solely because of their political views. And I certainly detect a nervousness among candidates this time around, and I'm talking cross-party here, that I haven't seen in the past. And, you know, as a minister, I've a degree of protection, which I'm very grateful for. But, you know, a first-time candidate going out doesn't necessarily have that. And it's hard to think how you legislate or how you ensure security in those times, because when you're going up to someone's door and knocking on the door, there's only so much that people can do to ensure your security there. But that atmosphere where candidates and political activists are nervous going out is something that is a real concern.
And what do you attribute it? Do you think it is legitimate, if over-amplified, anger at some of the kind of situations that we have just been discussing? Or is it created by bad actors, or what?
Look, it's entirely legitimate for a voter, a member of your electorate, to disagree with you strongly, to be angry with you because of political positions you've taken. But particularly if you look online, and I don't really go online that much anymore, but I suppose the level of viciousness that you see there generated to certain politicians and, you know, certain public figures in general, I do think that seeps into the general political discourse and maybe emboldens or empowers people to not, almost dehumanizes politicians in their area, and they see them as this, you know, terrible person rather than someone whom they have a strong political disagreement with.
And is that dealt with through control of or censorship or whatever you might term it in social media terms, or is it dealt with in a law and order setting when it actually turns up in the real world?
Well, I think it has to be dealt with in terms of the regulation of the online space. And it also has to be dealt with if there are, I suppose, physical, you know, attacks on politicians as well. Obviously, Minister Martin, Catherine Martin, has set up the online media regulation system. That's in its infancy, but I think that will be extremely important. We also have an electoral commission now as well, which will work in conjunction with that to work to defend the integrity of our electoral system. But I suppose it's so important. Like I was in local government for 6 years. It's such an important part in terms of doing something really positive for your community. I suppose I would remind the electorate that whenever someone comes to their door, even if it's someone they strongly disagree with, these are people who are putting themselves forward to make a difference, and in 99% of situations, a positive difference in their own community.
The Anton Savage Show
with Kiri's.ie on News Talk.